There's more to food, there's more to life than food. You know, as people became aware of the threat of COVID-19 quite a few months ago, there was a rush to buy supplies from the supermarkets. Toilet paper in particular was in short supply, as was bulk and dried food like pasta and rice, which just disappeared off the shelves. Why? Because people had a lack of trust in the supply chains which deliver these products to our supermarkets, so that we can obtain products which are essential for life, or in the case of toilet paper, thought to be so. The anatomical and physiological processes by which our bodies process food so they can grow and continuously repair and be energized is incredibly complex. We are, each one of us, fearfully and wonderfully made. And yet the basic principle here is so simple and straightforward. And I'll just say it, even though you all know it. If you don't eat, you'll die. This afternoon, we're considering the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. This is one of six requests or petitions in the Lord's Prayer. The first three focus on God, and the second three on mankind. And the fourth request here deals with our physical needs. The next two deal with our spiritual needs, our need for forgiveness and the avoidance of temptation leading to sin. The fourth petition asks that God would, in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, take care of all our physical needs. And we're going to look, as we've said, at this part of the Lord's Prayer through the lens of our text in Deuteronomy 8:3. We're going to do this under two headings: trusting the Lord for our physical needs and trusting the Lord for our spiritual needs. So firstly, trusting the Lord for our physical needs. As I've already said, the Lord is speaking in Deuteronomy to his people at the end of this 40-year period of living in the wilderness. They're still en route from captivity in Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. And God calls them to trust him by trusting in his word. He explains to them that this is the pathway of blessing and life. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. God wants his people to remember his past provision of their physical needs by miraculously providing for them in that desert wilderness manna, heavenly bread, when they hungered. Interesting that God did not supply this food from a storehouse like the ones that Joseph had filled with grain after the 7 bumper years of harvest in Egypt, so that it would be supply that would last for another 7 years of famine. Instead, God's provision was made on a daily basis. He explained to Moses, saying, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the 6th day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." Now, God has always provided the food that mankind needs, either directly and miraculously, as he did with the manna, or through the food production processes that he has designed into this creation. Our first ancestors, God said to them, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree that has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you." God provided an abundance of food for our first parents, and God has continued to supply food for his creatures. We all need a regular supply of nutrient in order to survive bodily. There is no other way to live. And this constant necessity is reflected in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Literally in the original language, it reads, our bread daily give us today. There's a redundancy of words which emphasizes this pressing need every day for our bodies to be sustained. Now remember that life for people in the first century was lived very much on a daily basis. Daily wages were enshrined in the currency. The denarius coin was the daily pay for a Roman soldier or the financial remuneration for a day laborer in Palestine. Many people back then had a kind of a hand-to-mouth existence, a lifestyle with little savings, little food storage, very little buffer, if any, for times of famine or when illness came or as they got older and they weren't able to work long hours. There were no fridges or freezers. Most homes had no large pantries, no unemployment benefit, no accident compensation corporation. The words, our bread daily give us today, would have impacted more on them than they do for most of us now. However, whilst it's difficult for many of us to grasp what it is to live hand to mouth, day by day, there are more and more families and children in New Zealand who live that way, especially as a result of the economic effects of the pandemic, coupled with hugely high levels of personal debt. And yet, for most of us, I think here now, we're wrapped up in material comfort and security. So it's easy to forget that God provides for our bodies. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we express our complete dependence upon the Lord and we express our trust in Him for life. Trust is the confident expectation in the honesty, integrity, and reliability of somebody. So that's what we express when we say this fourth petition. The Old Testament Israelites demonstrated a completely stunning lack of trust in the Lord when they grumbled about the Lord's daily provision of heavenly bread, just after they'd been dramatically delivered from Egypt. We read that in the book of Numbers. They had this strong craving. Oh, that we had meat to eat, they said. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the onions, the garlic. And now our strength is dried up and there's nothing to eat but all this manna. So they grumbled. Had the Lord met their need for food in the wilderness? Absolutely. Every day. And on the sixth day, twice as much to cover the day when they weren't to go out and gather. They had sufficient food to sustain all of them for 40 years in the wilderness. In the Lord's Prayer, the word bread speaks not of luxuries, but of necessities. Bread stands for what is essential for bodily life. Had the Lord met all the Israelites' wants for food in the wilderness? Had he delivered on all their preferred menu options? No, not at all. They preferred the more varied diet of Egypt, even though it was part of a life of enslavement and hard labor. They so quickly and readily forgot what the Lord had saved them from. We are not so very different to them. Their memories were dangerously selective, I think. They did not trust the Lord to meet all of their needs. They didn't trust the Lord that He would indeed lead them into the promised land as He had promised that He would. And so when the spies returned, apart from Joshua and Caleb, they didn't trust the strength of the Lord to overcome the inhabitants of the land. And again they grumbled. Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we would have died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? It was because of this first generation's lack of trust in the Lord, in the word of the Lord, that none of them, including Moses, none of them went into the promised land apart from Joshua and Caleb of that first generation. It was the children of those adults who left Egypt who came into the land, which was a place that God had promised would be a land flowing with goodness, with wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of food, lots of food, where they would eat bread without scarcity, and they should be full, and that they would bless the Lord their God. So we're not them, we're not traveling through a wilderness, we're not headed for a physical promised land, but we are journeying through this life, each one of us, as they were journeying through, and the call of the Lord is the same, to trust him. And so as we pray the fourth petition, we're asking God to, and I'm quoting from the Heidelberg Catechism, help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. We need God to sustain us daily, hourly, in every moment. We need to use what God has graciously provided to care for our bodies. Food is to be eaten in the right quantities, a healthy and balanced diet. We are to exercise our bodies and our minds so that they remain active. Have you ever thought about this? Picture the Old Testament Israelites in the wilderness in the campsite there. The Lord could have provided food for them by just depositing it in the camp. But no, it was out around the camp, and so they had to go out and gather it. So the Lord provided not only food, but a daily exercise program for them. We're to diligently care for our bodies so that we can be effective in service. Caring for our bodies both involves God, the provider, who provides what we need to do that, and ourselves as we use those resources wisely. Christ expects that we will share what we have been granted and given with others who lack when he says, so when you give to the poor. Giving food to those in need is actually one of the aspects of life that Christ identifies when he speaks about the coming day of judgment. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Sharing food with one another in our homes is part of that work of hospitality that we're called to engage in. And so when we pray as a gathered congregation, give us this day our daily bread, we may well be the means that God has ordained for providing food for one another. We may be the answer to our own prayer. So we've touched briefly on our physical needs, and we see in our text how that connects to our spiritual needs. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So let's look at our second point now, trusting the Lord for our spiritual needs. The Lord Jesus Christ had been in the wilderness not for 40 years, but 40 days. Without any food. Being fully human, as you and I are, he was hungry. And we read in Matthew's gospel that the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Christ trusted that his heavenly Father would provide when tempted to provide for himself by following the command of Satan. Just as Adam had been tempted in the Garden of Eden to eat the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when there was plenty, an abundance of permissible food to eat. There in the wilderness, Jesus did exactly what he had taught his disciples to do in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can you see again, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ never asks of us anything that he has not himself already done? He calls us to trust God for our physical needs, for food and drink and clothing. He calls us to trust God for our spiritual needs, because man does not live by bread alone. We are body and soul. We need both physical and spiritual sustenance if we are to survive. And so it is that after miraculously feeding the 5,000, we read in John's Gospel those words that we heard earlier, Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven." And so God, in his amazing and wonderful providence, had delivered this food from heaven for 40 years so that this picture of daily provision would point forward to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and to the reality that man does not live by bread alone. Jesus gave himself to us, brothers and sisters, as our spiritual nutrition. And it is he and he alone who enables us to live spiritually. He provides for our spiritual sustenance through his word and his spirit. Just as God called the Old Testament saints to remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you through these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you and test you to know what is in your heart, so God is calling us to remember his past provision. He's provided all that you and I have needed for our physical life. But this may not always have been in the ways in which you have wanted, any more than the diet that the Old Testament Israelites had was necessarily what they wanted. Let me give you some example. The physical diet that you've eaten in your life at different times may not have been to your liking. I grew up on rice pudding, which I still can't eat to this day. But more seriously, some of us have gone through times when we've had to eat food that has been unpleasant or not to our liking. Our health, your health, may not have been as strong or pain-free as you would have liked. Your body may not have been the size or the strength or the shape that you might have desired. The aging process may have affected you in ways that you didn't anticipate and which you find difficult and challenging. However, the Lord has provided for all your bodily needs, not necessarily your wants. God calls us to remember his past provision. And if you've come to Christ in repentance and faith, he has provided all that you need for spiritual life. And if you have not already done so, then you must. Because you see, if you do not receive this spiritual nourishment, which is Christ, then you will surely die. So I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Come to Christ, who is the bread of life, who said those words, "Whoever believes has eternal life." So the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're asking God, "Do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing." Ultimately, it will do you and I no good to have sufficient physical food if we die later. We need more than just bread to live. We need every word that comes from the mouth of God. and the words of God are found in the Bible. Do you know how many words there are in this book? If you add up the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek, it comes, as I checked the other day, to 545,202 words. In English, the exact number, of course, depends on the translation, but just in case you're interested, the King James Version has 783,137 words. However, the main message of the Bible can be summed up in just a very few words. So let me do that for you now. Here we go. God created this universe very good. The first human beings, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God by eating forbidden food. However, because of his great love, he has chosen to rescue a chosen people for himself through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring them to a new creation where they will live forever with him. And in this new earth, there will be a river flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on either side of the river, there will be the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. God will continue there, you see, to provide daily food for eternity, just as he has provided daily food for us through our lives. If God did not sustain us bodily, we could not come to Christ. If God did not sustain us, we could not serve Christ. And so food is fuel for following the Savior. And in this next life, food will be fuel for enjoying eternity with the Lord. And this is the paradise that the promised land pointed to, that land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Congregation, trust the Lord to provide through this life and into the next, and remember his provision in the past, for man does not live by bread alone. Amen.